like your time, and Natalie will give you that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalie. If you can just do it in 5-minute increments and then 1 minute at the end. I don't know if I'll be able to use a full 20, so I might have to donate some minutes back. But everyone, Suzanne, sex and love addict. Good to see you. This is a women's group. I haven't been to an all women's group in a while. Thinking about that, you know, that seeing all women, it brings up something that recently happened that kind of definitely to me points to how I used to be versus how I am today in recovery in this area. I'll leave names out of it, and I'll try to be descriptive as I can, but also protect anonymity. So we'll see if I can do this fine line dance. our annual business meeting for SLAA was the 1st through the 4th, and I happened to be on the board of trustees for SLA, and I happened to be the chair last year. So the board is made up of 9 addicts, fellow people in recovery. And so, you know, we have personalities, principles over personalities. And so there were some things over the course of the year that we had to do as trustees and communications. And I think about if I wouldn't, you know, we have to have 3 years sober to be on the board. And I definitely understand why. And I think about, I've been sober since January 7th, 2013. So I'm about 10 and a half years sober in this program, off my bottom lines. And I think about how that's affected just my personality and my approach to people. And there was a situation that came up and I had to address it. This person I touched on their ego, things that, you know, they may have not done well. And then they said to me, well, I don't think you're doing a very good job as a board chair. And so I had to just hear that and just take that in. And they didn't give any examples, but I know it's because I was having to hold them accountable that they lashed, you know, they were just not accepting the feedback that I was giving them. And I realized, and so I just heard it. I continued on with what I had to do. I talked to my board mentor, and I said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore because, you know, it's difficult and I'm dealing with a lot of personality and people aren't stepping up and being honest with everybody. And then I felt very betrayed. And so a lot of my triggers, old past triggers, were being hit. So my ego, like, you're not doing a good job. I never used to be able to take that very well and hear that. I probably would have behaved like they did and got very defensive and just not hear it, you know, and in my head be real defensive. Having to do something and then no one else standing up behind me when they kind of pushed me to do this. They're like, you have to do this. We're all behind you. And then when I looked around, there was nobody there. So I had, like, my betrayal was deeply, you know, hit. I felt like that I couldn't trust people again. I'm like, great, I can't trust my fellow board members, you know? And so I felt very, I was reading the State of Grace today, and it talked about sitting with feelings. Well, I forgot that I detach. It's my go-to to detach and disassociate. So I was able to kind of get through the moment and do what I needed to do. And then a whole day later, I'm trying to put on makeup for the next day, and I'm crying. And I'm like, why am I crying? So it's kind of hard to put on eye makeup when you're crying. And so I just had to figure that out real quick. And I had to sit there and go, okay, what's coming up for me? And I'm like, oh, my house wasn't safe. I had betrayal in my family, and my house wasn't safe. And I was abandoned. I mean, literally as a kid, I was orphaned at age 10. And then I had to go live with an aunt and uncle. And my uncle had to constantly pick his wife, my aunt, over me. So, it's, you know, he was a husband first and then a parent. And they used to be my favorite aunt and uncle before I had to go live with them. So I just didn't, it wasn't safe. My aunt was against me. You know, I reminded her too much of my mom, and she hated my mom. She was very jealous of my mom. So all these like childhood things came up for me. And I was able to kind of just sit there and go, okay, and just have a really good cry and just, you know, stop with the makeup and just have the good cry. I called my program friend. I called my sponsor. And I did these things, and I just kind of sat there with that, my feelings. And I'm like, okay, these are legitimate, you know, old past feelings that got struck, and that's why I'm so upset. And so then I got through that situation, and then I've been reflecting. I'm like, oh, I should probably go get feedback if that person, if they truly didn't think I was doing a good job.
Yeah, maybe. Sorry.
Maybe there's something I could be doing better or different. So I started to think about, okay, I should probably ask them what I could do differently and what areas do they think I wasn't doing well so that I could do better this year. Because I just happened to get reelected as chair this year. So then also I tend to cling to the negative feedback and not the positive. So I'm having trouble accepting the fact that they voted me again as chair because I'm like, oh, but, you know, they're codependent. And I'm judging them, and I'm like, they weren't honest with the other person, so they're probably not honest with me. But I just have all these emotions and all these things, and I used to handle those things very badly. I took everything personal. I would get vengeful. I grew up knowing I was Scorpio, and if you read anything about Scorpio, we're all about vengeance and getting, you know, getting back at somebody, and we have all these horrible traits. But I was very much clinging to those things. And if somebody betrayed me, I made sure, you know, now it's on, game on. And I wouldn't overtly do anything, but I would get back at them. I would seek revenge, and I would do dirty to them, like double what they did to me, but I wouldn't let them know. So it was only my secret. For example, if somebody cheated on me, I would make sure I cheated on them and never get caught with their best friend. And that felt good to me. That felt powerful. And it was very ugly behavior, I admit it. I don't do that anymore, but that's who I was. And I was getting better and better, or worse and worse at it, depending on how you look at it. I got more refined at my revenge and my behavior that was ugly. And I wasn't safe for women. I wasn't safe as a friend. I wasn't safe as a coworker. I wasn't safe as I mean, I guess as a child, I wasn't safe, but I didn't have any respect for authority. That's for sure. And, now here I am 10 and a half years later, and I had that situation and all those same feelings came up. I didn't seek revenge. I didn't go to destroy this person who said something bad about me. I do know that my fellow trustees, you know, I felt like they abandoned me in that moment and betrayed, you know, what they told me versus what happened later on. But the truth is, we're all human. We're all like trying to get better. Everybody's in recovery. I have to put the principle of looking at us like we're all just in this together. And I did the right thing. My board mentor told me, well, you did the right thing. You just didn't get the right results. And so that helped me. But I never shared my revenge actions to anybody. I never told my friends about it. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I did that no one ever knew except me. They were just my own thoughts and my own actions. And some friends knew pieces of it, but there was no one who knew the whole me, the whole thing. And here I am today. I leave my phone out. My boyfriend has my password to my phone. He can look at any of my emails. He can look at any of my texts. My computer, he has full access to it. There's nothing that I do that is like a double life. There's, even though I might not tell somebody all my thoughts, when I do have feelings of insecurity or like I've been wronged or betrayed, I talk about it in meetings. I talk about it with a sponsor. I talk about it with my program friends. And they kind of help keep me in a good place. You know, and plus I have bottom lines. But the biggest thing is, you know, I sleep good at night. That's the truth. I haven't except for situations like that where I can't help who I'm around or at work, like my friend base, they can all trust me because I'm trustworthy now. And I trust them because I don't just, you know, give them the keys to my candy store and then turn away and say, okay, I'll be back in a month, you know, and be shocked that all my candy's gone. I recognize red flags now when people tell me who they are. So I really like what recovery has done for me. It's kind of like this added benefit. I mean, not only do I have a better relationship with my boyfriend of 7 years, but I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm much better than I've ever been. And it's just a day-to-day thing. And I'm just a better person all around. And I like how I've just improved. I'm somebody that I wouldn't mind being friends with now. And when I feel like I'm wronged, I don't get all Scorpio on people. I get something better, a better version. I think there's like a version of Scorpio that's like an eagle. And so I feel like I'm that. I'm more evolved as a human being. And I have a lot more compassion for people. I have boundaries. And those are all benefits that I've gotten from working my steps and just sticking around. And I still need to do that because I can see when people feel like they've got it and they're recovered and they got the brass ring and they're in a relationship and they disappear. I see them years later come back. I've seen many people leave and come back. And they're just in a wreck. And that doesn't happen to everybody, but I've seen it happen. And I would be one of those people, I think. I think if I ever stopped coming back, I could easily revert to something, some dark place that I might have been before. So I really need this program. I need everyone to show up. And that's why I do service on a board level, because it's a lot of work and I don't love it. it takes up all my spare time. But I have to do it because I've had these opportunities to do things differently and behave differently than I did in the past and build new brain cells and paths so that I can act more adult in relationships and be trustworthy myself. So I do plan to talk to a few of those people that where I feel betrayed and say, hey, can you help me understand what happened here? Because I thought we were, you know, going this direction. And I felt like you just did that Homer Simpson thing where you fade into the bushes when I really needed you. And I think if I can approach it in a very like gentle way and make it safe for them to kind of to share with me, and then I can hear what they have to say and I won't just dismiss it. And I won't try to read their minds on what I think they were doing in that moment, you know, and maybe there's things I need to do differently myself. So, and I'm open to it. So I think I've learned how to be humble, and before recovery, before working my steps and really getting into it, I wasn't very humble. My ego kind of led the show, because it was really trying to protect me. I felt very betrayed and, you know, deceived, and I didn't trust authority. And I just thought, I have to go life alone. It's just me and my brain. And now I don't do it alone anymore. I do listen to people. I'm open to them. They're open to me. So I really appreciate being here today. I appreciate everyone showing up. And I rely on that to keep me on a better path than where I was headed. Because I was headed, I mean, it was just getting worse and worse. I was creating more and more situations. My tolerance for bullshit was just increasing. And red flags became a party to me. I saw red flags as a red flag party that I wanted to join. And I was able to do an about face and turn around away from that. So I'm just really grateful. I'm happy. I'm in a good relationship. I'm more mature, and I guess I just have to accept that. but I can still be fun. I was really worried about losing the fun Suzanne if I got sober. I was worried about, well, what jokes are going to be funny if it's not a dirty joke or an innuendo, or, you know, if I'm not this person doing this subversive sexuality, you know, intriguey behavior, you know, who am I going to be fun and to be around? It turns out I'm okay. I'm pretty okay. I still have friends and we have a lot of fun. So yeah, I just, that's all I have to share. And so if there's going to be a theme, I think it'd be humility. That's something that I've really been able to learn and constantly have to stay in that humility place, to stay sober and to stay on a good path. That's what I have.
So much. So excellent. Thank you, everyone. We utilize CHIP.